You are listening to www.infinitesmile.org. Enjoy these Zen-inspired talks given by Michael McAllister, followed up by question and answer exchanges with groups of his students.
Mistakes are totally dependent on your perspective. From the perspective of ego, or the contracted sense of self, mistakes abound. But from the ultimate, or the infinite, or the divine perspective, there's no such thing as a mistake. There's only teaching. So, as I've said before, we have circumstances, and we also have ultimate living. Okay. The ultimate living actually is at the essence of all contracted circumstances. But from the perspective of contracted circumstance, there's nothing else. From the perspective of our egos, there is only the stage play that it bounds and jumps and dances on. That's it. That's all that's there. And any exposure to the audience that it might sense, it will fight against. The audience, however, is our connection then with an ultimate life. So we watch ego do what it does. That's the work as we sit. That is the practice. We show up fully for our life. That's all we do. That's all meditation is. It's creating a scenario where your physical body is supported in stillness, your spine is straight, and you are meeting your life fully as it arises. Your mind starts to still, and it meets everything that arises. And in that meeting, there's a recognition at some point that all things arise. All things arise as our essence. All things arise as infinity, and we are part of that. We are part of the Big Bang. We're not separate from the Big Bang, even though our small self might want us to feel that that's so. So there's a little formula here. We have, there's a little cause and effect relationship that we can kind of identify with ourselves and with our experience, and that is that circumstances are always, always, always arising. And from the contracted self-sense, okay, we always look at those preferences as pointing us in the direction and reminding us of our attachments to things. Preferences show us where our attachments are. Attachments to things. And when I say things, I mean anything that can be conceived of. Anything in mind, be it an opinion, a thought, a conviction, a belief system, an identity, that's a thing. Just like this microphone is a thing. All things are merely the arising of something in mind. And preferences to whatever is arising show us where our attachments are. If you have a preference, usually that's like attachment light. Okay? Now, attachments then are always arising. And as attachments arise, they remind us of delusion. And that simple delusion is that things are separate from the divine singularity that gave birth to the Big Bang and gives birth to the Big Bang in every moment, in every now. So, delusions then arise to remind us of awakening. Delusions arise as an offering, as an invitation to awaken. And what do we awaken to? The all, as the all. We awaken to the all as the all. And in that union, in that one song, our voice is heard as everyone else's, and everyone else's voice is heard as our own. And there is no negativity, no fear, nothing other than everything that can come out of that awakening. And then we do the really important task, which is to share it with the rest of the beings on this planet. In this universe, we share the universe with the universe as the universe. So a quick little commentary then on circumstances. Circumstances, our circumstances, are always arising, reminding us of our preferences. Our preferences are always arising, reminding us of our attachments to things. Our attachments to things are always arising, reminding us of delusion. Delusion always arises to remind us of awakening. So circumstances are the path. Circumstances are the path. That's what we walk. Okay? We walk, or we are with circumstances. Again, from the perspective of ego, circumstances, and you can just think of one that happened today. Think of a circumstance that happened today. Circumstances are always going to be evaluated by ego. They're always going to be evaluated. They're going to be judged by the small self or ego. They will be honored by the small self or the ego. They will be rejected or modified or manipulated by the ego. Circumstances will always be used as tools. They will be used as tools against and for the preservation and destruction of ourselves and others. Manipulations are negotiations, essentially, with what is arising. When we manipulate that which is arising without the bare attention that we've spoken about, but instead with an egoic contraction to mold, shape, and shift whatever has arisen, that negotiation right there can be used then either as a tool to protect or attack. But that manipulation really is ultimately the building of a wall of separation. It creates a boundary between self and other, whatever that other is. So this realm then of mind identification with things, of this negotiation, of this manipulation of all things that arise, that realm is precisely the most addictive and contagious thing around. It is unconsciousness. Unconsciousness breeds more unconsciousness. And if you are around somebody who is deeply unconscious in the way that they behave towards either themselves or others, it is incredibly difficult not to fall into their trap. Ego can identify with other egos readily. Sucks it up. And so this is such a gift when we run into somebody who is, or some situation that brings up a deep unconsciousness in us, the kind that you can actually feel, that allows us to witness, to observe from the perspective of ultimate life, our circumstance. We can then transcend, if you will, the circumstance, not deny it, not pretend it's not there. That's another egoic trap, okay? That's another tool that ego uses to reify itself, to keep itself in charge. If we can watch our unconsciousness, that which is watching the unconsciousness is given energetic attention, and that energetic attention creates ultimate life in the face of contracted life. In the face of circumstance, we are offered ultimate life. So this, you can obviously see how this readily applies to mistakes. A mistake is a judgment that ego gives a circumstance, nothing more. Now, does that mean there are no mistakes? Well, in the contracted sense, they're all over the place. Ego loves picking them out, loves evaluating, loves judging. But in the judgment, which is always ego-bound, in the judgment, there is never any room for love. There is never any room for the ultimate to express itself if we are busy compartmentalizing. Good, bad, yes, no, right, wrong, black, white, yeah, no way. The minute we go into that evaluative mode, we're locked in the unconsciousness, we're locked in the contraction of ego. So that which is really contracted in us not only catches, but is caught by circumstance. The very thing in us, I'll say that again, the very thing in us that is contracted, protected, behind the wall, defended, that piece of who we think we are is not only catching and compartmentalizing, but is also caught and compartmentalized by circumstance. The contracted sense of who we are, in other words, is vulnerable to being blown around by all sorts of things. Praise, blame, love, hate. You pick it. That in us which is contracted is always being pushed around by circumstance, because it's caught by circumstance. It uses circumstance as a tool. It gets used by circumstance as a tool. So, back to this word of mistake. A mistake can only happen in that contracted space. Mistakes are only circumstances that have been evaluated and judged by ego. Mistakes are only stories that carry a tremendous amount of personal weight on our own personal stage of mind, where ego dances, sings, shouts, cries, in the hope of maintaining some form of fantasy that can become so fantastic, it evolves into something that is real. If we can watch ego do this dance, we have essentially shown light in darkness. Darkness cannot survive light. Ego's control of our existence cannot survive the light of our consciousness, the light of our awareness, the light of our ultimate life. So our solution, our way out of this typical delusion, is to fearlessly observe the evaluation of all of our circumstances. Fearlessly observe our evaluation of our circumstances. Just be there for the evaluation. That's it. Show up. Don't flinch. Just show up. Be there for that evaluation. Study it. Study the small self's judgment. Study the small self's manipulation. Study the small self's delusion. And so one of the tricks that we can use to help employ this type of bigness to our smallness is by stopping being concerned with being right or being in the know. We've got to stop being concerned with being right or being in the know and be absolutely concerned with orienting every single bit of our being in the mystery of everything. Instead of being, be wow. And let that wow inform all that you do. Let it start to break in to the shell and inform what's trying to hatch. Miraculously, what's trying to hatch is exactly what's trying to break in. Spirit. So the mystery, the all, is actually where all circumstances come from. And since it is the womb of all circumstances, it is absolutely impossible to evaluate it from an egoic perspective. We can make up stories about it. Oh, that must be cool. If only I can get that, then everything will be fine. And unfortunately, that is more of the delusion. The mystery, the ultimate life, is never capable of offering any of us a mistake, since the mystery itself is concerned not with evaluation, but it is concerned with teaching all of us about itself. The mystery is concerned about teaching all of us about itself. In other words, the mystery, evolution, is hell-bent on making sure that evolution continues through, around, and from all of us. It's the uncontracted essence of all things. It's the mountain that all religions endeavor to climb. It's beyond the contraction of time, beyond our contraction of mind. It is never here without being there. It is neither inside nor outside. And it is simultaneously both inside and outside. And sourcing our lives, then, from this place, from this recognition, allows a divine intentionality to infuse all it is that we do for all time. This divine intentionality starts driving something deeper within us. And what does it meet? It will meet an appropriate response. And what's there? Infinite generativity and creativity for all time. So this sourcing our lives from this mystery, this ultimate life, allows us to be with circumstance intimately. And in becoming truly intimate with our experience, without flinching, what happens to our experience, what happens to our circumstance, instead of becoming contracted, it becomes open. And in that openness, all mistakes are not only forgiven, they can't arise. And we then become students of a life that we show up for, as opposed to pawns in a war that we can never win. Don't try anything. You just be intimate with what's going on within your heart and mind as their unconsciousness unfolds before you. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to manipulate yourself. Look at the circumstance. Be intimate with the circumstance, no matter what it is. If it's painful, be intimate with the pain. Don't indulge it. Don't shy away. Just don't flinch. Be with the pain. Don't let the contagion infect you. Because people trapped are dependent on people that are not trapped. People that are not trapped cannot fix the broken, though. They can only embody that which is free. Sometimes a choice word, sometimes a hug, sometimes breakfast. Really, really good coffee sometimes is the perfect, appropriate response when your intention comes from the ultimate source, okay? It will always, 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 through creativity, the bridge of creativity, meet with an appropriate response, okay? And that's beautiful. It's beautiful. The other person may not be able to see it. They may not be able to feel it, but you are living a conscious life without flinching, even in the face of somebody else's lack of consciousness. And in this way, we are bodhisattvas. We are saints. Okay?
I'm thinking of a case where someone is experiencing something very painful, and you want to support in some way, and yet you don't want to indulge. So it's hard to get to the place where you're
right.
You know, choosing the appropriate response in the moment.
Right. I would be really careful about choosing it. I would be careful not to choose it with mind, but allow it to flow from feeling. It's unfiltered that way. It's the infinite. It's the infinite. It's a gift of the infinite whenever it's felt. Whenever it's thought, it's filtered. It's compartmentalized somehow. And then what we run the risk of is, again, turning our own helpful impulse becomes a manipulation, and we toxify the entire event. The circumstance, instead of becoming something that enlightens us, becomes something that further diminishes not only us, but the other person. Doesn't mean don't be tender, Gene, you know? It means be open to everything that's happening as it is happening, without judging it, just being there. And in the being, transformation occurs for you and everyone else that you meet.
You said there's no such thing as a mistake.
From whose perspective? There's no such thing as a mistake, only from one perspective. What's that perspective?
In the ultimate.
Right, in the ultimate realm. Right, right.
Okay, in that sense, what is the opposite of a mistake? And the same thing applies, doesn't it? Is there no such thing as a success? I can't find the opposite of a mistake.
Absolutely no such thing. Success is an evaluation of a circumstance. And it usually is really close to the personal pronoun I, or you, or we. We have made a mistake, we are a success. What's on the other side of that? Precisely, what's on the other side of mind? You know? And that breakthrough will never happen in the future. It can't. It can only happen in the now, in this present moment, this very moment. And if we are there, we're inviting it. We're inviting the battering ram to blast right through the castle wall.
Embodying freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That really just rang a bell.
That rang a bell for you? Embodying freedom.
Well, in that kind of a situation, that there was somebody once who, and I felt like I was actually having a breakdown.
Yeah.
Like almost a nervous breakdown. And she was ultimate compassion, but she was free. And she just what you just described, she didn't get sucked into it, but I knew somehow her modeling that some other thing was possible, and yet it wasn't like I handle it. She was totally there, but not sucked in. That was an amazing combination.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would have known the words to put to it.
Yeah, it is precisely beyond words, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really need to comment on that. What you said is quite beautiful. It's just that the being there for another person without flinching is all any person ever wants from another.
Right.
They want to be seen.
Right. No matter how awful it is, it isn't like I needed her to go into agreement with my horror story.
Right.
You know, although it was so real to me that it was all I could see, but just that there would be somebody so close who could embody something else and not flinch from the pain I was in, that in itself popped me.
Right. Yeah. And we flinch in two ways, don't we?
Sucked in and by avoidance.
Exactly. We either get sucked in to their unconsciousness, and by getting sucked into their unconsciousness, we offer ourselves up like a lifeguard diving in to save a drowning person who doesn't have the strength to keep them away. We drown with them. Yeah? And the other one is to run away. And you can be totally on the other side of the room with someone you're nose to nose with if you're not there with them. You can be very far away. You can distance yourself by trying to fix them. They just need to be heard.
With compassion, it's the with. But I did have a question.
Yeah, sure. Oops, time's up. Sorry.
It's short.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my age or if it's this material.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice every time I come, I want to, it's a challenge to not feel bad that I can't remember everything.
Yeah.
And it just feels like you must have some experience with this over the years that you know, that you'll talk for however many minutes, and I'll know that if I can just remember and integrate half that stuff, my life will just truly work out. And yet I walk out of here with 5% on a good night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Dharma rain comes from a great cloud of unknowing. Okay? A cloud of knowing gives nothing.
Well, what are we sitting here for then? If I'm not going to remember what you're saying, what is the point? Raindrops?
No, if you remember what I'm saying, you're committing everything I have just said to entirely the wrong place. You're putting it in your mind. Your mind, Tracy, and your identification with it is precisely the thing that will keep you in delusion.
So just sit here and let it come in the pores.
Yes.
Okay.
Dixie cup by Dixie cup. It pours up. You will be sopping wet at some point in time. If you walk out of here feeling just a little bit wet, great.
Okay.
Great. But do not try to process. Do not try to integrate. Do not try anything. Be intimate with the fact that you don't remember.
Okay.
And then you're enacting everything I talk about every single Monday night.
Okay.
Wednesday night, whatever. It's the intimacy. It's the not flinching. Wanting to grab a pen and write it down is a flinch. Instead of just being, something just happened. You know? So here's to something happening. We'll see you later.